reporting live from Boston this morning. It's 9 minutes past seven now.
The Rod Whiting Breakfast Show.
BBC Lincolnshire.
Now, could we be facing an autumn or indeed a winter of discontent? The TUC's annual conference comes to a close in London at lunchtime. A number of unions preparing to announce plans for a wave of one-day strikes in protest at threatened cuts in public sector pensions. Up until now, it had been thought that there would be just one day of action in November. Well, Mark Sawatka is the General Secretary of the Public and Commercial Services Union. He says things could escalate.
We think the lack of mandate, the lack of popular support for what they're doing will become more and more apparent as we see people prepared to take industrial action, campaigns spring up locally to defend local services. We think that can create enough opposition to force the government to have a rethink.
Well, 300,000 workers have already staged a 24-hour strike this summer, so what next? Well, our political correspondent Paul Rowley is at the TUC headquarters for us this morning. How significant is this threat of an, well, autumn of discontent?
It's highly significant, Rod. We were expecting another 24-hour strike at the end of November, possibly around or even on November the 29th, which happens to be the day that George Osborne, the Chancellor, unveils his autumn financial statement to the Commons. It was being portrayed as a kind of second wave of industrial action, not dissimilar to the walkouts we saw in June. But it's now emerging. It's not going to be just the one day. It may be a number of days, possibly a wave of stoppages on successive days by more unions this time. The two largest unions, Unite and Unison, who between them have 2.75 million members, they've kept their powder dry so far, but I understand that they are considering balloting, and that could be announced in the course of the day. This is the final day of the TUC conference. We already know that one of the largest civil service unions, the PCS, are balloting, so we're talking big numbers here, Rod, and potentially extensive disruption.
How is the government likely to react to that?
They're not happy, clearly, and are expected to urge the unions to hold fire because talks are continuing on this, but they have been going on for several months, and the union's argument is that the coalition isn't budging. They feel their members are not just facing cuts to their pensions, but they're already paying more in contributions, they're having to work longer, retire later. For most of them, their pay has been frozen anyway for 2 years, and many of them also face losing their jobs because of the cuts being imposed by the government in order to tackle the budget deficit. Now, the argument from ministers is this: public sector pensions are much better largely than those in the private sector, where the majority of workers don't have a workplace pension, where there is less job security and the holiday entitlements are less generous. But their main argument, Rod, is a pretty brutal one. They're skint. They've not got the money. It looks like deadlock.
Briefly, watching Ed Miliband's performance yesterday, the Labour Party leader, the papers are split on this morning. Some saying he was very brave to take the unions on over this, and the Mirror particularly saying he should have focused on the bankers.
Well, I mean, the Labour Party supports the trade union movement and the Labour Party, and the Labour Party and the trade union movement are pretty split on this one, to be honest with you. In the 30-odd years I've been covering TUC conferences, I've never seen a Labour leader receive such sustained heckling, such sustained jeering. And I tell you what, his predecessors have had pretty rough rides. Tony Blair comes to mind when he was heckled some years ago. But Ed Miliband's calculation is this: the majority of the British people, he feels, don't support strike action. He doesn't want to be painted as being in the pockets of the unions, even though when he got the job a year ago, he was dubbed Red Ed, largely because he won the crown because of those union votes. So there's a standoff going on here, not just between the unions and the government, but between the unions and what up to recently were their industrial partners.
Paul Rowley reporting from the TUC conference, final day today. So what's the view of the union stance at the TUC from the private industry? Let's hear from private industry. Steve Gelder is Managing Director of Gelder Construction in Lincolnshire. Good morning to you, Steve. Mm-hmm. Talker of a winter or an autumn of discontent. What do you make of that?
I don't think it'll happen, really. I think it's all talk. And probably union leaders trying to get a few headlines on the front pages.
If you could sit down and have a conversation with these union leaders, what would you say to them?
I don't think I'd say that on air, really, but if it kind of happened in our business, I think I'd be sat down with whoever was thinking of going on strike and saying, that's fine, don't come in Monday if you're going to go on strike, but don't bother coming in on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday neither, because it's not something that I support at all. If you're not happy in your work or you've got some grievances, I don't think going on strike going to achieve anything, to be honest.
But if you have a situation in the private sector, so things are a little bit different, aren't they? You, for a start, you have fewer people around to manage. You have fewer managers to manage them. There's a very clear chain of command. You know what job has got to be done. You get on and do it. In the public sector, it's a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, I've never worked in the public sector, but it always amazes me how inefficient it is and how many meetings they have to have just to get stupid things through, really. I mean, if the private sector behaved like chunks of the public sector, it would just be bankrupt overnight.
Well, if you've never worked in the public sector, that's a little unfair, isn't it? I can imagine. I can almost hear the public sector manager screaming at the radio at this moment. So what does he know about public sector?
Not a lot, really. But there are good guys. I mean, we deal with some members of the public sector, and there are guys that get up in the morning and get on with it, you know. And there are guys that spend all day moaning about their employment circumstances. Look, you spend 70% of your daylight hours talking about work or being or at work. So if you're not happy, just get another bloody job. I'm pretty black and
white. I can see you're getting angry here. You know, the language is deteriorating. But isn't that the problem? It's very simple for you as a private sector worker to say, oh, look, you know, just get on with it and stop whinging and moaning.
Why is it simple in the private sector? You know, we have less pension rights, we put longer hours. You know, I just think that some of the public sector need a bit of a reality check. I mean, there are a lot of good people in the public sector, but we all know there's a lot of moaners and whingers, and it just seemed to attract its fair share of militants as well. So I think some of these people need to be sat down and maybe just do a job swap for a couple of weeks and think, well, actually, I haven't got it too bad, have I? Am I just being a bit controversial?
Potentially. Apologies for the language. But, Steve, we'll leave it for the moment and we'll see what sort of response we get to that. Interesting. Steve Gelder, Managing Director of Gelder Construction. After 8 o'clock, we're going to hear from Dave Prentice, who will give the other side of the coin. He's head of the second largest public sector union, Unison. What do you make of what Steve was saying there? Do you think actually he's right? Or do you think, what a cheek? How dare he? 01522 511 219. Text 81333. Start your message with LN.
Today's Lincolnshire.
The Rod Whiting Breakfast Show.
BBC Lincolnshire.
Well, a report out this morning from the Royal Institute of British Architects claims that new build houses.